So anyway, Natasha, how are you today?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I'm just a little bit got my Merlina Dietrich voice on, but other than that, I'm good.
Yeah, there's been a throat bug going around, that's for sure.
I know. It's very democratic. It's stopping to say hello to a lot of people.
Exactly. I know it's visited our house, that's for sure, but you just get out that handy-dandy wild oregano oil, and it shortens it anyway.
That's right. You know, you just let your immune system test it and make sure that it is in control of it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we've got 50 people on today, Gus. A lot of people interested in this topic.
Yes. Well, you know, when I was thinking about what topic to do for the first teleseminar, I kind of went to the forum, and probiotics are definitely the topic people ask the most number of questions about. So I thought that would be a good one to start out with, because there's probably, you know, a high interest in the area.
Yeah, well, it's definitely, you have big players coming in now. And
yeah.
The unfortunate part is that it's the marketing message and not the science that's coming in clear and loud. And that's what we have to dispel, because it's a very important area. We have to set the proper criteria, and then we can move on to better and greater things.
Exactly. Well, let me just introduce you properly, Natasha, and also myself, because it's 6 o'clock now, so we're going to start the call. And I know there's some people who are actually not part of JPT Wellness who are on the call, so I'm going to tell people who I am as well. My name is Jeannie Patel-Thompson, and I write books on natural healing for digestive diseases like Crohn's, colitis, IBS, and everything else in between. And people can find out more about me and my books and my forums and everything if they go to www.caramal.com. That's spelled CARAMAL.com. Now, I hope everybody does have a pen and a piece of paper, because I know as we get into the call, Natasha's going to definitely be giving out some information that you're going to want to write down. So let me tell you a little bit about Natasha Trenev, who I'm interviewing today. Natasha Trenev comes from a long, multi-generational line of yogurt makers, and her family supplied yogurt to King Peter II and many generations of the royal family in Yugoslavia. And then her parents came to the United States when she was 8 years old. Her father continued in the yogurt business, but Natasha, after university, really got interested in probiotics, more concentrated, more potent form of bacteria than found in foods like yogurt. So along with her husband, Jordan, Natasha founded Natrix. You know what I have to do? I just realized, hearing all that background noise. Natasha, you and I both have to hit *5 on our phone to put it into lecture mode so we don't get the background noise, okay? Let's go ahead and do that.
Now. Okay, I've got it on.
You've done it?
Yeah, I've done it.
Okay. Funny, we're still getting the background. I'll try it. Let's try it one more time.
Okay.
Okay.
I only hear you.
Yeah, that's definitely better. Okay. Also, what everybody else can do, if there is any more background noise, is if you can press *6 on each of your phones. Can you hear that noise?
Yeah, I can hear that.
That is very odd.
Yeah,
maybe if we can get everybody to press *6 right now on their phones, and that will mute out the call, the phones of everybody else.
Yeah,
okay.
I think we got it quiet now.
Okay, so moving on. Natron, 25 years later, Natron Inc. Has 70 different probiotic products and a staff of over 50 employees. So Natasha is constantly called upon to educate medical professionals around the world about the benefits of probiotics. She's an internationally recognized expert and authority. Her work is so respected that her probiotic production standards were read into the United States Congressional Record and are currently cited as the probiotic industry standards. She was also invited to speak at the World Health Organization's Congress of Health in Adelaide, Australia. So that is just a tiny bit of your illustrious reputation, Natasha. And I know from, you know, just our discussions that you are just a wealth of information about probiotics and probiotic manufacturing and just everything sort of going on in that field. So thank you very much for agreeing to join us today.
Well, you're one of my favorite people, and, you know, this is such an important topic, and we have to get it right. This is coming from science, not from a marketing position, because bacteria are what I call single-celled brains. They are very smart, and they don't do things because they like us.
Yeah.
So right now, there's so much misinformation about beneficial bacteria and the whole category of probiotics, which I actually brought to the United States in the late 1970s, that until we establish some criteria for evaluating these products, we cannot experience the miracle that they promise to be, or the natural medicine of the 21st century.
Yes.
So, you know, if I can take a moment to establish important criteria of, you know, how to select the proper probiotic in order to have a unit of measure. You have to be able to measure what you're ingesting in order to know how it's affecting your body.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, there is a huge confusion, not only by the lay people, but by medical professionals. They don't understand what a species is and what a strain is.
Yes.
And they assume when they see all these names of species on a probiotic product that these are all strains. By and large, I would say less than 2% of the products on the marketplace, you know, list strains or identify strains in their product. The rest is just a mumbo-jumbo of a list of species and doesn't really offer any kind of guaranteed benefits to the end user.
Exactly.
And number one, all of the literature says that you have, in order to get a true probiotic effect, you have to have not only the accurate species, but you have to have a DNA fingerprint of the strain that you're using, and that strain has to be available to the end user in sufficient quantities to impart the beneficial effect on the host that we're seeking.
Yes, and that's one of the points that I continually have to stress to people in the forum, because they say, well, I'm taking this and I'm taking that, and I say, well, how much are you taking? Because all of the clinical studies show that you need to consume at least 7 to 10 billion CFUs, that's colony-forming units, a day to see a therapeutic effect.
That's right, but you have to know what you're consuming.
Exactly.
And one of the things that irritate me the most is when all of these products list, you know, five or more species on their probiotic label, and they don't tell you exactly what you're getting. They don't even, you know, they sometimes just put numbers behind these species, and they allow the consumer to be fooled to think that just by putting a number behind a species name that they're identifying a strain. No, you have to identify a strain to a third independent party, and then that strain has to have some a third-party validation of the beneficial effect that it has on the host.
That's right. Because just to give people some background, Natasha, something I read in one of, in fact, in your first book, was that, let's take Acidophilus, for example. How many different strains of Acidophilus have been identified to date, roughly?
I would say several dozen.
Okay. So out of that several dozen, how many demonstrate potent antibiotic activity against pathogenic bacteria?
I would say less than a couple.
Right. So you've got, you know, let's say 2 out of 50 that actually have any ability to even kill the bad bacteria in your gut.
Right. They have to have a genetic feature, number one, that allows it to produce hydrogen peroxide. Without this feature, it cannot, you know, kill or subdue a virus or a yeast or other bacteria.
Right.
So you can list species and names on a box, but if it doesn't have the ability to produce hydrogen peroxide, it's not going to be considered a super strain.
And how would you, as a consumer, possibly know, number one, which strains would be good to consume, and number two, how much of that strain you're actually getting in the bottle? Because nobody even specifies, let's say if they put even different species together, so they've got, Acidophilus, Bifidus, and a whole bunch of different bacteria in there together, they don't tell you how much of each. They just give you a total bacterial
count. Yeah, and
you
know what? And that the only thing is that bacteria are not by nature symbiotic. So by mixing these bacteria, number one, you're not getting any kind of result. And by not telling you what the strain is or what the feature of that strain is, you're just wasting time and money. Because as I said, if you are fighting yeast or you're fighting a pretty serious pathogen that's infested your GI tract, unless you identify the strain, and you know that strain has the capacity to produce hydrogen peroxide, you're wasting both time and money.
Yes, and in fact, one of our questions that was sent in, I had people email me questions if they were too shy to ask on the call. So this one's from Angela, and she says, I would like to hear more about the whole single strain, I think she means single species versus multiple species formulation debate. Specifically, what are the drawbacks to taking a multi-species powdered blend? So she's talking about, like, Natasha, for, let's say, your powdered probiotics. You can have either Acidophilus in one jar or Bifidus in the other jar, and then you've got Bulgaricus in a third jar. And she's saying, like, what most of the probiotic manufacturers do is they take all three of those plus, you know, seven others, and they put them all together in the same jar, the same capsule. And she wants to know.
Well,
let
me start off from the beginning. Basically, those mixtures of organisms is not based on science. It's based on marketing need. All the people who sell their probiotics to consumers do not manufacture them. And so once you mix several species together, it is very expensive and time-consuming to figure out what exactly you have in the product. So if you're going to have, 30, 40 customers who are buying a species of probiotics from you, it's not economically feasible to grow single strains for all of these customers.
Yes.
So what they do is many times they don't even have the blend they list on the label. They just list organisms, and they have the same blend that they sell to all the customers. And
right.
The reason I say that is because it is extremely expensive to do that. So, in other words, you as a customer have to say that, number one, in microbiology, there is absolutely zero information that mixing species produces a better product or gives you better results. All of the, information we have in probiotics, every major article says that it is strain and species specific, and that by mixing these organisms, you are diluting the efficacy of the product. And many of these species that they dump into these products are what I call filler organisms. And why do I call them filler organisms? They're just there to look good on a plate count in the laboratory. Because bacteria, remember, do not behave in a way that benefits us unless they are stimulated to behave and produce certain beneficial effects on the body. And when you mix all these species together, they have no vested interest in expressing these features for you because you are allowing them to be in such a mix that they have no compulsion to behave in a certain way once you ingest them in the body.
I think that's a really key point because I think what a lot of us tend to do is think of probiotics as just another herbal supplement, and it's not. I mean, these are live, intelligent, evolving organisms, and they have to be treated completely. Like you said, you have to say, well, why would this bacteria want to benefit me as its human host?
Right.
How have I bred it? What conditions am I putting it into that would make it, as you said, behave in a certain way?
Well, let me give you a simple explanation because at one time I was the exclusive licensee of the University of Nebraska. And one of the things that they found when they were first isolating the DDS1 organism, which, by the way, Nathan is already validation that it has the organism cited in literature as DDS1. No one else that I have seen on the marketplace even has validation. Now, the science, the published science says that this organism, unless it's grown in milk, will not exhibit its antimicrobial properties. And to me, it is so unethical to take an organism that the published research says, oh no, you have to grow it in milk in order for it to exhibit its properties, and then say it is, you know, non-dairy based, is duping the public.
So when you produce your Acidophilus that's in the non-dairy base, do you use a different strain? You don't use DDS1?
Exactly. I use a strain that doesn't need the presence of a calcium ion to, number one, adhere to the epithelial tissue. And I use a strain that has a genetic feature. It's called the NAS, which stands for Natrin Adhesion Strain. It has a feature called an exopolysaccharide cell wall, which is like a little bit of a Velcro effect, so it can stick to the attachment sites or parking spaces on the intestinal wall.
Right.
And so each bacteria is chosen for its specific properties, and then I choose a medium to grow this bacteria so that it will willingly express these properties once it's grown in the culture medium, because the bacteria will not waste cellular energy expressing these features for us because they like us. And
yeah,
the more bacteria you grow commercially and mix together, the less they're likely to produce these beneficial effects for us once they're consumed. And
now, go ahead.
And once you put something in a bottle, it's not in a dormant state. These bacteria still keep growing. They may be in an arrested state of growth, but anything, a bottle, a capsule, is what we call a closed-ended system. In other words, nothing is coming in and nothing is going out. So eventually, by the mere fact that it's sitting on the shelf, it's absorbing all the available food and then, you know, competing with the other organisms inside the capsule or the bottle for living space.
Right.
And that's
and then
why...
Yeah, I've heard that referred to as competitive exclusion, which is why you can't put different species together in one jar, one capsule. But well, how does that actually work? Do they kill each other, or do some of them just die off because other strains are more robust? Or what?
Yes,
how exactly does that work?
Exactly. It's the survival of the fittest. That's the bluntest way I can put it. In fact, there was a wonderful article published by a famous researcher, Dr. Gilliland, and found in the mother culture of the NCFM strain, which was isolated at the University of North Carolina, that on the mother culture, which is grown under and kept under, you know, pristine conditions, that there were two or three mutants that grew on the mother culture, and they were producing antimicrobial byproducts to knock each other off.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so, you know, for us to assume that these are benign little creatures that, you know, don't want dominance in the microbial world, you know, dominance and proliferation of your own kind is the key to survival.
So bacteria can produce substances that kill other bacteria.
Exactly.
Which is why you don't want to put different species together, because they're going to try and kill each other off, and the strongest species dominate.
Exactly, and that's why the only way I will mix my organisms is if I micro-enrobe them in oil, which we know from physiology will keep them separate, because oil can only be emulsified by bile action, and since the bacteria don't produce bile, they will not be able to release themselves from the oil until the capsule is released in the body.
Yeah, so just so people understand, Natasha has a product called Healthy Trinity, which has three different strains of bacteria together in one capsule. But inside that capsule, each species is encapsulated in its own oil bubble, so the different species do not touch or interact with each other. And that's why, you know, she can put them in one capsule. But I don't think there's anybody else. I mean, I saw that machine that you have, a phenomenally expensive machine that does that. I don't think anybody else even has that capability.
No, not even a pharmaceutical company in the world has a, you know, this is special technology developed by me, and, you know, because I know how important it is to keep these bacteria separate. Now, once the bacteria are put in the body, this is the body, if you think of the GI tract as an open-ended system, you know, food is coming in and waste matter is going out. So the bacteria will go to its most desirable niche in the GI tract to proliferate. You see?
Yes.
And once in the body, that's why I tell you, if you want to mix my single strain powders together in a glass and drink it, it's perfectly okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just wanted to add that since you're from Canada, Health Canada now is forcing manufacturers to substantiate to them why they're mixing these species, and is the total effect of the mixing of these bacteria greater than if there was a single strain.
Oh, interesting. So someone
and
is finally starting to ask some good questions of the probiotic industry.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I have always striven for, and that's why I always ask people, ask the people who are you're buying product from, are you the actual formulator and manufacturer of this product, or are you just a distributor and you're using a contract manufacturer?
Very few are. I mean, the ones that I've investigated, I mean, it's amazing because, you know, you go onto the internet and you can find a probiotic company that it's basically, they will send you a checklist. And you just go, which species do you want in your capsule? Oh, tick, 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 tick. There's no science behind it. There's no analysis of whether these species, what they're going to do when you mix them together, because I've also seen some scientific studies that show that if you mix certain bacteria together, there can actually be a toxicity created that's dangerous for people with any immune disorder.
Exactly.
So it's, yeah, I mean, it's, the industry is just right out of control.
It's like any what I call the old Wild West days. And I think that if we arm people with science, not marketing hype, then when they start asking the questions, then when the people, you know, many times you call up the so-called, these so-called companies and you can't even reach a technical person.
Yeah.
You can't talk to anybody technical or anybody that knows anything about the product. They'll just reach you off a prepared sell sheet.
Now, getting more along this lines of safety and nobody monitoring the safety of probiotics, as you know, Dr. McCullough is recommend, who has the number one health site on the internet, he recommends a bacterial soil organism for his probiotic blend. I just read Dr. Andrew Weil, or Whale, I don't know how to say his name, who's also a very famous medical doctor, is also now recommending a bacterial soil organism as a probiotic.
But that to me is unconscionable because Dr. Weil doesn't know anything about probiotics, and all of his products, unfortunately, are contract manufactured, because if they would look up Bacillus coagulans, which is the real name of the organism they use, it is a spore former, and it's found in a genus that happens to be a cousin of Bacillus anthracis. And, you know, to me, it is...
So like anthrax?
That's right.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, and it's definitely not as toxic as anthracis. There's other organisms, but it has the same ability to form spores, and once it's in your body, it's virtually indestructible because antibiotics cannot destroy spores or even, you know, damage them. And so to me, it is sheer folly. And the only reason they put this into the product because spores and streptococci and enterococci will survive mistreatment with unrefrigerated packaging.
It's a marketing decision.
It's a marketing decision, exactly. And a lot of them are so unscrupulous that as you sent me that data that Dr. Mary Ellen Sanders responded on the use of the word lactobacillus sporogenes, which was never accepted in the microbial world as a definition of bacillus coagulans. And the only reason they misbrand this organism is so people will assume it comes from a safe genus of lactobacilli. So, you know,
just so people understand, lactobacillus are bacteria that are traditionally cultured on milk or other food products, whereas the bacillus organisms are bacteria that exist in the soil.
And are usually found as contaminants in food product.
Exactly. They actually cause food poisoning. Yes, very good point. Okay, Natasha, we got to start moving along because I can't believe we're almost halfway through the teleseminar here. So here's a quick question that we get a lot on the forum. Can you talk about the pros and cons of taking for your Nature and Brand probiotics, what are the pros and cons of the Healthy Trinity capsules, which, as I understand, do not contain the growth medium, versus the powders, which do, you know, like yogurt, contain the growth medium that the bacteria were grown on? Can you talk about when you should use which one and what are the pros and cons of each?
Right. Well, as you all know, that the reason we make all these separate products is that each person should design a program that's more effective for us. It's not that the Healthy Trinity doesn't have any supernatant. It has the least amount of supernatant in it. That's because literally we have to jam the cells to get that 30 billion CFU count in with the oil and the capsule. And
gotcha.
And basically, you know, the reason we made the capsule because it's like a powerhouse hit of bacteria that are geared for the intestinal tract. In other words, it will survive, the bacteria will survive 100% in the acid medium of the stomach. And will then, you know, be emulsified by the bile that's produced lower down by the gallbladder. And since all of our organisms are bile tolerant, again, you will have 1,000% survivability, and you'll get the 20 billion bifido going to the large intestine, the 5 billion NAS acidophilus, you know, going to the small intestine, and the bulgaricus also being part of the what I call controlling transient flora. So
yeah.
You're going to get a big hit of bacteria going down there. Now, the advantage to some of the powders and the powder pills is you have more of the supernatant. Now, the supernatant is the intrinsic supernatant or the growth medium that we grow each of these bacteria in. And research and science has shown to us that these bacteria impart certain beneficial byproducts, or they're called sometimes fermentation end products in the supernatant that have a tremendous effect on the body. For instance, the Lactobacillus bulgaricus will impart proteolytic enzymes in the supernatant. These proteolytic enzymes are very important to help us break down proteins. It will also impart other enzymatic structures inside the supernatant that help us break down, digest food that will not aggravate the immune system. They will also provide something called microlectins, which are necessary, you know, positively charged proteins to help the beneficial bacteria stick to the intestinal wall. You will also find production of hydrogen peroxide inside the supernatant, other antimicrobial properties, and a multitude of peptides and amino acids. And we know that these amino acids and peptides have tremendous anti-carcinogenic properties, tremendous properties for helping maintain proper blood pressure. This is published work. And a huge benefits. And some research has shown that when you include the bacteria in its intrinsic supernatant or this fermentation and culturing medium, the effects of the beneficial effects of this organism are increased up to 50% more than if the organism was just by itself.
Wow.
Does that make
sense? So it's sounding to me like capsules obviously are easier for people to take than, you know, scooping out powders and mixing them and drinking them. But it's sounding to me that, you know, if you can, especially if you're someone who has a digestive illness, you really should take the powders, because that way you get not just the bacteria, but all these other elements that are all health promoting.
Right. Well, you know, the optimal thing is to what I call the layering system. I told this to you before, that you capsule because you want the big hammer with a lot of cells that are healthy going in to the GI tract. And you take the powder, and we also have the powders in the capsules. The lower potency, but even the capsules, you know, maintain a greater percentage of the supernatant. So if you're really adverse to powders, you can take the regular products that are come in the regular capsule and not just the oil matrix. So, you know, if you learn about the products, there's a big payday, because each one of our products is different and has a different health benefit to the end user that is measurable.
So do you have people who are taking both the Healthy Trinity Oil Matrix capsules and the powders?
Absolutely, especially people who have Crohn's disease or IBS. you know, many patients who have, for instance, IBS, take our LifeStar 2 product, which it has the exclusive organism Bifidobacterium infantis grown in goat's milk. That organism has been found to have the most quieting effect on a hyperactive immune response that causes IBS. Mm. But we also tell them, look, you know, you should take the LifeStar 2 along with the Healthy Trinity because there are multiple factors responsible for IBS. Yes, you can take the LifeStar 2 alone to stop that hyperactivity, but the other bacteria found in the Healthy Trinity contribute to overall digestive health if you suffer from Crohn's or irritable bowel syndrome.
Okay, and you know what? That leads us really nicely into another question that somebody emailed in. This is from Jermaine, and she said, I would like to ask, can you take too many probiotics? Can the good bacteria ever cause inflammation themselves? That probably sounds stupid, but you know some vitamins can be taken in excess. Others are simply excreted by the body if not needed. However, it still requires processing by the liver and kidneys, right? So I think most things can be overdone, and I'm wondering if that is true of probiotics.
Well, okay, first let me clarify. Any bacteria, and so you have to buy it from a reputable manufacturer because the reputable manufacturer will make certain that only the bacteria from the Lactobacillus genus or the Bifidobacteria genus are present in the product. Now, several years ago, there was 600 citations presented to the FDA to show that there are no known toxic levels from any species found in the Lactobacillus or the Bifidobacteria genera. Now, why am I saying you have to trust the manufacturer? Many times, unscrupulous contract manufacturers will add spore-forming bacteria to boost the count or to get some kind of an effect, and they will put enterococci in the product. And that's mostly we see that in from products that are brought in from Japan. Enterococci faecalis or faecium are potential pathogens, and you know if you don't trust the manufacturer, sometimes they will list these bacteria on their label, sometimes they will not, but you definitely can do too much of these bacteria, and they can you know turn against the body under certain conditions.
Right.
So no, I can just tell you that there are no known toxic levels of Natron probiotics because I know exactly what goes into these products, but I can't vouch for anybody else. And
exactly.
All I can tell you is that you have 100 trillion organisms lining your GI tract. You have bacteria in your blood. You have bacteria in every orifice of your body. They're even found in the organs. And the former medical view that there are sterile parts in the body has been totally, you know, eradicated now. That's mm-hmm. no longer a medical fact. That is not true. Bacteria can be found anywhere and everywhere in the body.
And the other thing I've been reading is, you know, like we've been educated to think bacteria bad, but, you know, the majority of these, the bacteria are actually required by the body and are beneficial to the body.
Yeah, in fact, we were going to talk about the infect obesity. Well, it's not just that the radical change in our microflora can make us fat, but they can also cause us to waste away.
Yes.
And if you remember in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, people who had AIDS were wasting away. Well, guess what? Now, in the year 2000, we find data that AIDS patients are becoming obese. Mm. So,
yes.
You know, when we say obesity, it goes either way.
Yes.
Radical change in your microflora, and usually associated with antibiotic use or, you know, some form of infection, either by a virus or other bacteria, can cause you to be too thin or too fat.
Yes, exactly. You sent me a bunch of articles on that, and I found it very interesting as they were explaining it, and they basically gave the example. They said, you know, based on the bacteria that are in your gut, you can eat the same bowl of Cheerios that somebody else eats, and you will take, you know, twice as many calories from those Cheerios as the other person, depending on the bacteria in your gut.
Exactly, and I also have a theory that, and it was cited in one of these articles, that the fact that we did change our diet to include not complex carbohydrates and sugars you know, the diet can also change which organisms become prevalent and which die away.
Right, of course.
And you know, the consumption of things like high fructose corn syrup, which we know is deadly for, you know, people who want to lose weight and can be the cause of all the obesity we see in their young children, because almost everything is sweetened with high fructose corn syrup.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that, just a little aside, people are not making clear in any of this literature is the difference between regular fructose and high fructose corn syrup.
Exactly.
And they're tending to just say fructose, which is, it's inaccurate, because high fructose corn syrup is a completely different, you know, molecular structure to regular fructose, and
right.
High fructose corn syrup is a chemically synthesized product that is not naturally found in nature.
Exactly, and not only that, they also found with the people who had the problem with the obesity that they were able to break down polysaccharides, which, you know, normal people cannot break down polysaccharides.
Right, of course.
And so there is a number of changes. So that's what I'm saying, that in order for us in the alternative or complementary healthcare to make progress, we have to demand, whether it's a probiotic manufacturer or an oil manufacturer or a multiple vitamin manufacturer, some third-party validation of the accuracy of the statements made on their label. And then we can really get to the point where we're helping people, and that we got to stop taking this information out of context, because the body is very complex. And, you know, there's evidence science now that shows that we are a hybrid, a super hybrid of microbes and human mammalian cells, and that we are more. We are 90% microbes and only 10% human cells, and that the genes in these microbes can be switched on and off just like our regular genes, and they have a dramatic effect on whether we will be healthy or ill.
That is just amazing. And you know what else is I've read recently, and I know you know Dr. Thomas Barodi down in Sydney, Australia,
yes.
And he's the fellow, for those of you who haven't heard of him, who has been spearheading the mycobacterium research and, you know, looking at it as the cause of Crohn's and possibly some forms of colitis. And he's got a very interesting article that he wrote along with a couple of other scientists, where they're looking at probiotics not just from the angle of, okay, well, they can dominate all the bad bacteria in your gut and therefore, you know, increase your digestion, but also what you talked a little bit about before, which was that these beneficial bacteria can produce substances that regulate the immune system. So if you're having a ton of inflammation because your immune system is for some reason, you know, turned up on high, ingesting these beneficial bacteria can bring your immune system back into balance. And he's saying, geez, like, we need to look at, you know, all of the ways that bacteria impact and you know, interact with the body to get a really good understanding of where to go with this.
Right. You know, let me tell you that here's the new research. That, number one, that you have to find the bacteria that has the most quieting effect on the immune system if you have inflammatory and allergic responses. So that would be the Bifidobacterium infantis that we sell in the Lifestar 2. So if you have inflammation issues or allergies, that would be your number one choice to start taking.
And how much would you want to take of that?
Well, two or three capsules, three or four times a day. You know,
okay.
That would be a good starting point.
Okay.
And, you know, because these are the bacteria that are found in healthy infants in third world countries. Unfortunately for us in the westernized countries, we have lost this bacterium, and the mothers have lost this bacterium. So for the last 30 or 40 years, they have not been transmitting this to the children. And that is speculation that this could be the cause of our learning disabilities, our intolerance to allergens, and the hypersensitivity of the immune system to normal proteins.
Yes, because, I mean, allergies are just insane in the Western world.
Right.
So many people allergic to so many things.
Right, and I argue with these researchers who say that we have a too sterile environment, and I said no, because, you know, the pathogens that are now in the community are so deadly that, you know, you dare not, you know, desanitize the environment, and the stupid theory that you're now going to somehow miraculously, without controlling the microbes, desensitize the immune system, which to me is sheer folly. It's like letting a child play with nitroglycerin. So I, you know, that's where we, a little bit of information can be very deadly. Now, the important thing is that specific strains of these beneficial bacteria have an intimate communication with immune cells on the intestinal wall. And, you know, 70% of your immunity is found on the intestinal wall. And they can actually communicate with each other by emitting light, photon, light emissions, or by, you know, biochemical means. And
wow.
These beneficial bacteria can actually tell immune cells to stop producing pro-inflammatory or pro-allergy cytokines and to calm down. Or can tell it to, okay, now we got an invader. You got to make sure that, you know, the macrophages or the Pac-Man of the immune system are called in to engulf the invader and protect the body.
That is just amazing. There is just so much communication going on that we're not even aware of.
Yeah, and to tell you how smart the pathogens have come and why, you know, the right probiotic supplementation is so important in this day and age, we know that MRSA is not only a U.S. problem but a Canadian problem as well. And that's the methicillin-resistant Staph aureus that's now in our community. Now, the MRSA that's in our community is so smart that, you know, how it has learned how to defeat the immune system. It can actually produce an enzyme to lyse or break apart neutrophils, which are the white cell component of our immune system. And so to give themselves a head start in taking advantage of the body. And,
wow.
Yeah, and actually the deaths from MRSA are now outpacing the deaths from AIDS in America.
Yeah, and for people who are not in America, they probably see MRSA referred to as MRSA.
Right.
And, yeah, a new superbug.
So I just wanted to give you those two examples, one positive and one negative, how the bacteria, you know, try to take control of their environment. As I said, they're extremely smart, and, you know, we have to get smart in utilizing their abilities to protect us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, another question for you. This is from Rachel. She says, I had ulcerative colitis, and I had an ileostomy years ago. I now often have pouchitis. I've tried many different probiotics, including Culturelle, VSL number 3, etc., expensive, inexpensive, refrigerated, etc., over the last several years and lots of dollars. I know I do react negatively to milk and cream. I've had no relief by using probiotics. How can I test a probiotic's effectiveness and potency by the time it gets into my intestine?
That's a hard one because, you know, testing fecal samples for bacteria is like trying to find a needle in a haystack. 40% of your dry weight fecal matter is bacteria. So, she mentioned VSL. That's another one of those products that are sold through doctor's offices. And then my big problem with them is that they have a potency, but they list like 7 organisms, and none of them are strains. They're just names of species. So, again, how can you test what you're putting in your body and whether or not it's having an effect? She just knows it's not impacting her positively. I have told people who have pouchitis or ulcerative colitis that my recommendation is like 7 healthy trinities 3 times a day and, you know, 3 oval teaspoons of each of the powdered probiotics at least 3 times a day. And
oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
That's a massive dose.
It is a massive dose, but when you could compare that to a half a trillion dose, that they're talking about with the VSL3 of unknown bacteria, that's not a massive dose. And as I told you, that they're completely safe in any numbers. But when you have pouchitis, it is a serious situation. And I think a very restrictive diet would be very important when you're on these high doses of these beneficial bacteria in order to ensure that the pouches are not infected.
Would doing like a probiotic retention enema be a faster way for her to get relief?
No. It would help in only certain regions because, remember, it would help in the lower, you know, rectum and possibly the descending colon. But I think, you know...
You don't think it would get into the J pouch there?
It may, you know, but it's anybody's guess. The bacteria, as I said, will go where they feel they will thrive. And if
right.
they don't feel that, you know, they need to go there and make the effort because they're not going to thrive, they won't go there.
Right.
You know, they don't go there just because we think we're going to put them there.
Yeah, it's not like an herbal supplement. This is an intelligent organism who has its own agenda.
Exactly. Exactly. So you have to keep, you know, prodding it so that it will assume that role because it views your body as the best place for it to thrive. And it has a vested interest into keeping you healthy because it realizes you're the best environment for it to thrive.
Well, then question for you, what's your opinion on using probiotics if you have active bleeding Crohn's or colitis? Like, do you think it's better to wait till you've got the bleeding in check or mostly healed, or do you think you should start right away? And tell me about that.
Well, you know, it's sort of a dangerous question for me to answer because legally you're not supposed to tell people to take anything when they're bleeding. However,
right.
when you are bleeding, you are getting in fecal matter into your bloodstream, which is pretty dangerous.
Of course, yes.
You are getting the microbiota, which is on that intestinal wall, into your bloodstream. So, you know, my unofficial position is, yes, you would take the probiotics because they will produce substances to help you heal.
Yes.
And you know, that is important. And you want to help minimize the toxins that are being intravenously absorbed now. So that's a good strategy to adopt because there's nothing that the orthodox medical world can give you to help you with the amount of toxins and poisons you're going to be accumulating where the sites are bleeding.
Gotcha. Now, I remember when we were talking on another day and you were telling me about a woman that had C. difficile infection, and she also had to take just a massive dose of probiotics to get completely.
Yeah, that was Mrs. Gray, and I believe it was like 4 capsules of the Healthy Trinity 3 or 4 times a day. And she was in her 80s. That was exactly one of my best cases because her family was very supportive because her doctors were so ignorant, they would take her off the probiotics and give her more antibiotics, and to the point where, you know, she was close to death. And finally, you know, the family was able to intervene and force the medical practitioners to make sure that their mother got the proper dose of probiotics. And within 6 months of her, you know, therapy, she was not passing any C. difficile in her stool. All the ulceration and the bleeding stopped. And as a matter of fact, they said that as long as they could remember, she had very severe arthritis in her hands where she couldn't straighten her fingers. And for the first time in 15 or 20 years, she could straighten her fingers, and the signs of arthritis have completely abated.
Yes, because that's the other thing, and I talk about that in Listen to Your Gut, where I talk about people who get joint swelling as a side effect of Crohn's and sometimes colitis, and I give them the research that shows that the bacteria travels throughout the body and gets into the joints, and that's often what causes the joint stiffness, the pain, the swelling.
Well, you know what the bacteria do? You know what? How all autoimmune diseases cause. The bacteria trick the immune system into attacking mammalian cells who resemble their physiological makeup so that the immune system does not attack them but attacks the body cells.
Oh, so there we get into those smart little critter thing again.
And that was really great work that was published in my first book that I published with Dr. Leon Chaito. There was a fellow by the name of Dr. Eppinger who actually identified the cells that resembled an organism called Proteus and gave them numbers and showed how the immune system was attacking these cells that were part of the connective tissue rather than attacking the intruder, because the intruder very cleverly tricked the immune system into believing it was attacking the intruder, where in reality it was attacking the cellular structure of the body.
Wow. Absolutely fascinating. Well, you know what I'm going to do now, Natasha? If you and I both press *5 again, that will take us off our private conversation here and open it up to everybody else. And after we do that, I want to give people some time to ask questions. So if you have a question, don't be shy. Just start speaking immediately, and you know, we'll sort it out and try to get everyone's questions answered. So let's go ahead and press *5, Natasha.
Done.
Okay. Somebody say something so we can see if it worked.
Oh, we're not hearing a lot of voices.
I had a question.
Oh, sure.
Great.
Okay. You talked about...
take off mute.
Hello?
Oh. Can
yeah,
you hear
let's...
me?
Yeah,
no,
let's go ahead.
You talked about the probiotics, the Trinity that's encapsulated in the oil. I assume it breaks down when you swallow it?
It breaks down... first of all, the gelatin capsule will break down in the stomach because you have a low pH in the stomach and digestive juices. And the
okay.
oil will not break down in the stomach because it's basic physiology. The oil will be, you know, emulsified by bile action in the gallbladder region. And since all of the bacteria in the Healthy Trinity are bile resistant, they will not be harmed by the emulsification process.
Okay.
Question?
Okay.
Yes?
When is the best time to take the probiotics?
You know, it depends. Some people take them before meals, and some people like to take them after meals. The oil matrix you can take either before or after meals, but the powders, I recommend at least 10 to 15 minutes before meals so that you can have better survival of the ones that are in the intrinsic supernatant.
And when
you
say to take them after meals, Natasha, how long for the Healthy Trinity capsules? How long after a meal?
You don't have to wait any length because remember, it's not digested in the stomach. The Healthy Trinity, just the gelatin capsule is broken down in the stomach, and the oil is emulsified where the bile action is.
Oh, interesting. Now that's something I didn't understand either. Okay.
I have a question. If I don't have a gallbladder, does that make a difference of what I should be taking?
No, because you don't stop eating all oils because you don't have a gallbladder. And I can tell you the amount of oil in the Healthy Trinity capsule is less than a gram. So it should not cause any hardship.
And you mentioned LifeStar 2. Is that what you said? Is that the name of it?
LifeStar 2 is the product we make specifically for hyperactive immune systems that are evident in people who have irritable bowel syndrome.
So if that's what I have, I should be taking that?
Yes, LifeStar 2 would be the preferable product you start with.
And can I then just take the powder also and like go back and forth?
Yes, you may.
Oh, okay.
There's no incorrect way to take our products. There's a better and a best way to take them. But each person has to find a way that works with their body and their lifestyle.
Right. And how do you feel about Metagenics DF? Do you know anything about that company?
Yeah, I do know. Metagenics was my distributor when I first started doing business.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, they do buy from a reputable contract manufacturer, but they never had B. infantis and never will because their contract manufacturer doesn't grow that bacteria or provide it.
Right.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
I have acid reflux. I'm lactose intolerant. I have inflammation issues, and I have a liver full of fat. What probiotic should I take?
Okay. Well, I would take the Healthy Trinity to start with, and then I would take something called Gastro pH chewable capsules, and you would chew a couple of those before and after meals. And even though they're dairy based, it's got the Lactobacillus bulgaricus, which is the most prolific producer of lactase, the enzyme necessary to break down lactose, and also will stimulate your body's own production of lactase. And so that's what I would do in your case.
All right, so Healthy Trinity and Gastro pH?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
And the Gastro pH is a Natron product as well, Natasha?
Yes, the Gastro pH is a chewable wafer made with beet fructose, which has a low glycemic index.
Okay.
And it's great because it's easy for people to remember to chew before and after meals.
And then, so as acid reflux, acid reflux is what it is. You just continue to take your Nexium or whatever?
You try to wean yourself off the Nexium because the Nexium, you know, we know that there's a host of side effects when you're on the Nexium. And many people who have started our Healthy Trinity and Gastro pH program were able to wean themselves off the Nexium within 72 hours to a week.
Oh, great. Thank you.
My pleasure.
A question?
Yes.
Oh, I just finished taking some antibiotics. I had had a bacterial infection, and I was supposed to take intravenous antibiotics, and I was just wondering which product would be best to take and for how long.
Yeah, did you finish your antibiotic dosage?
Yes, I have.
Well, I would recommend that you take at least one Healthy Trinity a day along with the powders, a half a teaspoon of each powder, three times a day to get your body coated back with the bacteria, and you get a bigger punch with the Healthy Trinity of bacteria going into your large intestine. Now, depending if you don't have any side effects, that would be the dosage. If you have side effects like diarrhea, gas, or bloating, or fatigue, then I would take more.
Okay, so you said one Healthy Trinity daily and a half teaspoon of...
Have the three powders in unchilled filtered water before meals three times a day.
Okay.
I have a question.
For how long?
I would do that for just a couple of months. And
okay.
You know what? The literature is in. Even the World Health Organization recommends that you take a good probiotic every day because as we age, by the time we're 40, we can lose 40 to 60% of our beneficial bacteria, and it's one of the things that causes disease and premature aging.
So take one Healthy Trinity every day after the couple months is up?
Yes. I would do it as a part of your daily life.
Okay.
Much better than having a cup of coffee every day.
Thanks a lot.
My pleasure.
Another question about the kid. I have a toddler, and she will not take the Life Start on its own in the unfiltered water. Do you see a problem just putting it in either applesauce or a sugared base? Because don't these things eat off of sugar? Is it bad to put it in a sugar base?
No, some of them don't even like the sugar, funny enough, but we try not to put, I give you a best way to take it, but obviously if you're dealing with a toddler that does not like it, I don't have a problem, and I would prefer that you give her the unsweetened applesauce if she will take it. But if she won't take it, it's better to get it down her than not to get it down her. And
right.
If you want to mix it with apple juice, I would get the filtered kind because we're not taking it, the apple juice is for health benefits, but we're taking it as a carrier so it doesn't interfere with the beneficial bacteria and the ingestion of them.
I've been able to get it in her in chocolate pudding, applesauce not so much, but yeah, I was operating under the mindset of it's better to take it than not take it.
Yeah,
but I'm still giving, I'm not quite sure if I'm supposed to be changing this, but she's on the Life Start, the basic infant one, and she's 3 1/2, and she takes a quarter of a teaspoon a day. Should that change as she's, like, growing into her toddlerhood, or is the quarter of a teaspoon still good?
No, I think you probably, as she's getting older, I would say half a teaspoon. And you might want to go to some of the other powders that are certain. Is she healthy right now?
She is definitely healthy. She, she's got... Yeah, she doesn't have any real issues. She's a kid in preschool, so she gets sick a lot.
She does get sick a lot?
She gets a lot of congestion and coughs a lot, yeah.
Well, then, see, then that's not a good enough dose for her. Then I would go to half a teaspoon of the Light Start, and eventually I would want to add the other powders to her regimen, at least a half a teaspoon somewhere down the line in the day. And, I know you're a mom and it's hard, but some of her congestion and mucus may be caused by dairy products.
I've given her almond milk instead of milk, especially if she's sick. She hasn't taken milk. I mean, she does have cheese, but I haven't omitted it completely, and I see a tremendous difference in her ability to recover when I pull her off of dairy.
For some reason, the dairy has become bad in the westernized countries, and that's another topic for a whole teleseminar, but keeping them off of wheat and dairy will definitely restrict that mucus buildup.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm, my pleasure.
I have a question about the bifida factor.
15-year-old daughter with Crohn's, and she's...
Okay, can we go with the question about the bifida factor first and then the 15-year-old daughter with Crohn's?
Okay. Sure.
Thank you. I have been, I don't know if diagnosis is the correct word, but with Klebsiella?
Yes.
Pronounced it correctly, okay.
Klebsiella pneumoniae?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Apparently quite a bit. And I've had excellent results from the Megadophilus, but I have started the Bifida factor, and I've had on really low dose of it, I have terrible indigestion, gas, all those kind of things, and I don't know if that's just a typical Hexmer reaction that you call or what I should be doing.
No, you are having a Herzheimer reaction, so what I would do is keep taking the Megadophilus and possibly the digestive lac and start maybe adding the bifidofactor at an eighth of a teaspoon at a time.
Okay.
Because you're not, you know, believe me, none of these bacteria cause the gas and the bloating. It's because they're displacing something, and Klebsiella is a prolific biofilm former. And sometimes one bacteria will be able to break apart the biofilm, other times another bacteria. So if one is being more effective in breaking up the biofilm, that's why you're having this reaction.
I see. Okay. Terrific. Thank you.
My pleasure. Now the lady with the Crohn's disease.
Yes, my daughter's 15, and she has Crohn's, and she's about 72 pounds. And I wondered if the amount of Acidophilus and Bifidophilus depends on how much you weigh, or I wondered what kind of dosage she should take. She pretty
well, you know what? Ginny's book has a really good regimen for Crohn's disease, and she has the proper diet, and she gives you the dosage in there. And, you know, the Megadophilus, the Bifidofactor, and the Digestilac. And I would follow Jeannie's recommendations because Crohn's is a serious illness and requires both diet, you know, probiotics and vigilance. So I would recommend, I don't know, Jeannie, which book of yours has the most current data?
Listen to Your Gut has the most information, and it has three different approaches. So if you want to proceed cautiously, I present a plan where you can just start and gradually ramp up. And that also, because for people with Crohn's and colitis, they can get very severe Herxheimer or die-off reactions, and that makes them so scared that they don't want to continue. So what I often suggest is, you know, just start small and gradually increase so you don't kill too many pathogens all at once and, you know, make yourself feel really ill. So, you know, for you, you might want to start with her, on the cautious approach, it's called. And because she's 15, she would be on the same dosage as an adult.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Pleasure.
Question?
Yes.
Yeah, for mild or moderate IBS, how much would you take and how often? And are there any negative interactions with any foods and or drugs that I should
Yeah, well, there, you know, if you get the LifeStart 2, if you go on our website or call one of our, you know, health consultants, they'll tell you how much LifeStart to take. But definitely I would go, we offer a free low-carbohydrate diet, or you can go on Ginny's diet, as a quick start. And you definitely have to watch what you eat, what you consume, because there has been a lot of talk about IBS being aggravated by certain drugs, and, especially to people who are sensitive. And if it's mild now, if you don't take care of it, it could get much worse.
Thank
you. Is that a good enough answer?
Yeah, that sounds great. Thank you very much.
Thank you for asking.
Were you saying that probiotics can help arthritis?
Absolutely. Arthritis is an autoimmune disease. And autoimmune diseases are caused by infectious bacteria that divert the immune system attention to joints that resemble their physiological structure. And we have found that by changing diet and by taking the probiotics that you can get phenomenal relief from, especially osteoarthritis.
Okay.
Jane,
and do you have a rough guideline, Natasha, for arthritis, a dosage that you would, you know, just for a general recommendation?
You know, I can give a guideline that I would like them to take, like, at least one of the Healthy Trinities three times a day to start with, and I would definitely go on a diet either that you recommend or the low-carbohydrate diet that we had developed by a medical doctor for people to start. And possibly, you know, a half a teaspoon of the powders before meals, before each meal every day.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other questions?
You said it helped allergies?
Yes, allergies are basically your body's intolerance towards environmental stimuli or, you know, intestinal, stimuli. And, one of the things that is very necessary in allergy, that's why I'm recommending the Alivestar 2, is you need a probiotic that has proven, you know, what we call down regulation of the immune system, so it doesn't react adversely to either environmental or intestinal stimuli.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
Okay. I have Crohn's. I happen to live right in the Tustin Irvine area. Do you have any consultations you can do in person?
Well, I can't do that because I'm not a licensed physician.
Okay.
But what I would recommend is that, you know, Ginny has done her homework. And, you know, I only align myself with what I feel ethical people who provide products that really are meant to help people. I will not do lectures with the majority of people. Ginny is one such person. And she really has a great, you know, approach in her book that shows you how diet and the levels of probiotics you choose to use can have a tremendous effect on your Crohn's disease. And I think that she also provides support on her, off her website, which is very important when you have either Crohn's or any kind of inflammatory bowel disease.
Okay.
But also, Natasha, you have a 1-800 number that people can call and speak to one of your probiotic consultants, do you not?
It's actually an 866. It's 866, the number 4, and the call letters Natren, N-A-T-R-E-N. And we work with Jenny together, so you can call. All of our people are, you know, been working with people for 10 years or more. They're very familiar, and they can help you with diet choices. And again, you know, we give support here, and Ginny gives phenomenal support in her books. And, you know, she is one person who researches everything that she recommends.
Okay. Now, Natasha, just to ask you, is that a free call to people, or do they pay?
Yeah, 866 is a toll-free number. You know,
okay,
800-866-888, they're all toll-free numbers.
Okay, so the number again for people, it's 1-866-462-8736, and you can talk to one of Natasha's in-staff probiotic consultants. And like she says, a lot of them have been doing that job for 10 years. They have talked to people with all kinds of conditions, and they can give you some good but free advice on which probiotics to take, how to take them, you know, whether you should do powders or pills. You can really get more of a personalized opinion about, you know, which of the Natren products and how to take them if you call that number.
Okay, and then I can take that to the doctor and see if she is in agreement with that.
Oh, absolutely. We have professionals here who will. Our medical director is a licensed pharmacist, and we have two people in our professional division, and they can definitely speak to your doctor, and I would be happy to speak to your doctor as well.
Okay. All right. Yeah, well, she's the head of the department over there at UCI Medical, so.
No problem. I just dealt with somebody from the fellow academicians for the College of Gastroenterology.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
My pleasure.
I have a question, please.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have. My husband has been suffering from Crohn's, and actually I was doing some kind of acupressure, which has kept him, like, down on the remission. But when the blood results came up, he was not on any medication or on any of the probiotics. But when the blood results came in, we did have some lows and highs regarding the MCH, MCV, hemoglobin, and his good cholesterol was low. So I just want to know, like, what kind of probiotics should we start for him? It's like he doesn't get severe flares where it's too painful, but when he starts the discomfort, I give him the acupressure, and it does help him a lot with that.
Yeah, well, you know, I think both Ginny and I are fans of any Chinese art, like acupressure, acupuncture, but that's only going to take care of the physiology. You know, it's not going to take care of what's going on in the digestive tract.
Okay.
So I would recommend, if your husband's not adverse to it, at least one healthy Trinity 3 times a day along with the powders. You know, again, the half a teaspoon of each powder before each meal in unchilled filtered water. And, like, again, you can call and talk to our health consultants. They can help your husband figure out the most advantageous regimen for him, or you can go on Ginny Patel's website, and she also has recommended diet programs and regimens for helping with Crohn's and irritable bowel syndrome and inflammatory bowel disease.
Okay. And I have a son who has, like, always his sinuses are inflamed. So I just want to know, like, what can we do about that? His sinus glands are always inflamed.
Yeah, that's sinus, you know, usually what we find is that, even according to the Mayo Clinic, is a yeast infection. And, that's why, you know, if you call one of our health consultants, they can give you specific, you know, regimen, because it's a little bit complex to go into right now, either by calling Natrin or visiting Ginny. You know, we can help you with the sinuses, because what they usually do is they give these kids antibiotics, and it just gets them into a lifelong, you know, procession of inflammatory conditions that are never resolved.
Yeah, exactly. You're right, because, yeah, they have a lot of side effects, which in the long term they give a lot of other problems. Yeah. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Can I ask a question about shipping?
Yes.
I have several of Jenny's books and have benefited greatly from both the information shared there, as well as the Absorb Plus product that I've ordered from her website. But living in Hawaii, I'm a little concerned about, and I know they're packed in dry ice, and I sorry, but I haven't gone out there and actually ordered from Jenny's website for the probiotics yet.
Well, you know, we dropped it for Ginny. You know, it comes directly from our factory.
Okay.
So,
but with the delay in time and shipping and the higher temperatures.
Well, let me tell you, we're the only people in the world who ship our probiotics like plasma. It comes in a thermally controlled box, and we do use dry ice and, you know, blue ice where we know that the temperatures validate that use. So we actually do checks by temperatures across the country to make sure that we put enough ice in there so that the product is kept cool to the touch.
You know what you might want to do?
It's okay.
Pardon me?
You know what you might want to do? Sorry, I'll stop talking and you answer, Natasha. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to ask, as long as it arrives cool to the touch, then it should be okay.
It is okay. You know, what we don't want is that most of these products, people are not aware, are exposed in even in un-air-conditioned warehouses. They're exposed to temperatures of anywhere of 100 to 140 degrees Fahrenheit for days on end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the danger comes in. And that's where that whole, you know, fraud of what we call shelf-stable probiotics, because, you know, most good probiotics are stable at 70 degrees Fahrenheit, but they're not stable above 80 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's why you have
here.
To ship them in refrigerated and demand that they're refrigerated at all times, because most people are not aware that UPS, FedEx, and even U.S. mail warehouses are not refrigerated, and they're not even air-conditioned.
Right.
So the other thing you might want to try for shipping probiotics to Hawaii is, because since you're already ordering from the Holistic Health Shop and you maybe want to have it all sent together, you can order your probiotics together from the Holistic Health Shop. If they do not arrive cool, you just let us know. You don't have to send them back. We'll just issue you a refund. The second thing you can do is test it. Then the next time you need probiotics, or maybe you do this the first time, you order directly from Natrin.com. Because Natrin, as Natasha said, Natrin packs theirs in dry ice and gel packs. The Holistic Health Shop just uses gel packs. But they, you know, they specify that, you know, to somewhere like Hawaii, it has to be overnight shipping so that it's not sitting somewhere getting warm. So, you know, the best thing that for you is to maybe test it, see which method, you know, arrives in the best shape. And like I said, if anything goes wrong with your order from Holistic Health Shop, just email and they'll give you a refund.
Okay. The second part of that question, if I can, is I've been getting the Megadophilus and Bifidofactor from a local down-to-earth health food shop.
Yes.
And of course, they're refrigerated in the store, but the cynical question is how am I sure that in the whole chain of shipment it didn't end up in one of their warehouses?
Well, because, you see, we are in their perishable distribution system. That's where the other companies get into big trouble. Our products have to be shipped like yogurt or cheese or milk. They cannot be shipped as a dietary supplement usually shipped. So if we're dealing with a store direct, it comes shipped from us direct. Or if they're shipped by a distributor, they have to be shipped along with other perishable goods.
Oh, okay. That's
and we're all
good
to know. So you're saying, Natasha, that if a retail health store is stocking Natron probiotics,
yes,
then it has been shipped correctly?
That is right, because we're hoping, I mean, you know, I'm not there with my, as I say, light to make sure, but we suspect that if we put in the perishable section along with the other perishables that, you know, they wouldn't dare, you know, ship them along with the other dry goods.
That's good to know.
Yep.
Thank you.
Natasha?
Yes.
Do you have any research or ideas about how your probiotics might help or how they work with parasite infections, you know, worms or anything like that?
No, we don't have any research with worms or parasites. You'd mean like Entamoeba histolytica or Giardia?
Yeah.
Well, you know, honestly, anybody who has a worm needs to take the proper deworming, you know, whether they want to use herbs or oregano oil or whatever combination to get rid of the parasite or the worm. But they need to be taking massive amounts of a good probiotic like Natron to help the intestinal wall heal. Let me give you a perspective. A parasite such as a Giardia is about 500 times bigger than a bacteria. And they can do a host of damage on the intestinal wall. They can literally chew up, you know, parts of the intestinal wall. And so while you're trying to get rid of it, you should be, the probiotics will actually minimize the symptoms or the side effects, but cannot get rid of them on their own. So they're very necessary as a protective agent while you're trying to eradicate the worm or the parasitic infection.
Okay.
I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. And a kind of a parallel question, and I know Jenny recommends taking probiotics while we're doing the wild oil of oregano treatment.
Yes.
But if we're doing a really hardcore treatment, like 10 drops 3 times a day or something, are the probiotics going to be doing any good?
Oh, absolutely. You just don't take it at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Because believe me, even if you took a whole bottle of oregano oil every day, it's not going to get rid of all the bugs in your GI tract.
Right.
So, no, you do need, because there's something called displacement taking place, whether you're using a natural device or whether you're using an antibiotic. And in the microbial world, voids are not tolerated. So anytime you're killing something or displacing something, you need to be pumping your system with a lot of the beneficial bacteria, because you want them to be taking up those parking spaces or attachment sites on your intestinal wall so that something else that you don't want doesn't start taking up that space.
Okay. And how far apart are we taking those?
I would say 2 hours usually.
Okay. That's what Jenny said, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and also, like in the wild oregano oil protocol, I recommend you take that high dose of probiotics last thing before you go to bed at night. So then it has all night without any wild oregano going into your system. So it has, you know, quite a bit of time to perform its protective action.
Okay.
Right.
Great. Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Okay. Are we all done? Any last questions? All right.
Well,
Natasha.
Yes.
Sorry. Best product for heartburn?
Yes. Any kind of worm that you have, they will not eradicate the heartworm, but
I'm sorry. Heartburn.
Oh, heartburn. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Yes. Yes, heartburn, absolutely. Heartburn is caused by the displacement of acid. Usually a H. pylori bacterium in your stomach, along with a yeast, will form zones of buffer, and you can be producing the normal amounts of acid, hydrochloric acid, to digest, but because you have these zones of what I call buffer zones inside your stomach, it will be displacing the acid up your esophagus. And so you need to be taking the probiotics, one, to help eradicate the H. pylori and yeast so that your stomach and GI tract can go back to normal digestive function.
Okay. So which of your products would you recommend first?
Well, I recommend, you know, If you can tolerate the three powders, a teaspoon of each of the three powders before each meal. If that's not convenient, you can take four or five of the GastroPH tablets and chew before and after each meal, and at least one Healthy Trinity capsule a day.
Okay, thank you.
My pleasure.
Natasha?
Yes.
Did you say that if somebody's a hypersensitive and gets bloated, they should take more or less?
Less.
Less.
Because
okay.
You're not getting bloated from the product.
Right.
You're getting bloated from the what we call the Herzheimer or the healing crisis effect.
Right. So start slowly and build up. Is that what you're saying?
Because, yes, that we don't want you to become discouraged and stop.
Right, right. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I think we got everybody happy, Ginny.
Okay.
I have one more question.
Oh, okay, get in there.
do the docs go along with these protocols? I mean, everybody I've talked to says it's, you know, incidental.
No, the research on probiotics is so significant. As I mentioned earlier, I'm working with a number of GI doctors now who've seen the published research, and the internists are still coming on board. But let me tell you, there's been about 10,000 articles on probiotics published in the most prestigious journals in the world, and the medical community in the United States is standing up and listening, because basically all the drugs they have are either becoming ineffective or they're being pulled off the market.
I've lost most of my hair, and I've only had this disease for about 7 months, and I'm sick of, you know, taking all these pills, and it's
what kind of disease do you have?
I have Crohn's.
Oh, Crohn's, and you lost your hair.
I've lost my hair, yeah.
Wow, well, you know, that means that you're not absorbing something.
Uh-huh.
You know, Jeannie has a wonderful protocol for Crohn's, and along with the probiotics, and I know she's been very successful. And I know I've been around for 25 years, and I haven't lost a person yet.
Okay, well, thank you for your help.
My pleasure.
All right. Oh, was there one more question?
Nope. Okay, go ahead. No, I don't hear anybody. Ginny?
Okay.
If you have the time, I will throw out one more question.
Sure, please.
One last one.
There's I wish I could remember the name of the product. I forgot to write it down and bring it with me, but I think it's made by the manufacturers of Metamucil, and it is, I think it's an Infantis B.
No, I know who you're talking about. It's the product is called Align, and it's put out by Procter & Gamble.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, what do you want me to ask about that product?
How, if any, does that differ from one or more of your products?
Well, Well, first of all, I want to tell you that I've been the only manufacturer in the world who has sold a B. infantis strain of probiotic for the last 18 years. And the big difference between my product and the GM product is that, I mean, Procter & Gamble's product is, number one, they don't manufacture their product, they didn't do the original research, and they have no potency guarantee. And unfortunately, the research they cite as, you know, being effective talks about a potency guarantee, and the growth medium that they use in their capsule is not the same growth medium that they used in the research. So that's the big problem I have with that product.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Unfortunately, my GI, who I thought was fairly well informed, said this is the only product that was backed by, you know, the typical double-blind placebo-controlled study.
Well, so is our product. And, you know, I just talked to a Dr. Faber who's part of that, you know, College of American Gastroenterologists, and he says based on the research he's seen from me, that's the only product he's going to recommend to his peers and to his patients. But, you know, remember, Procter & Gamble has much more money, and their detailed people coming to these doctors, and as I said in the beginning of this teleconference, most doctors are uninformed about bacteria, just like lay people.
Yeah, it's not covered in their medical training, that's for sure.
No, they just know how to eradicate the pathogens by using antibiotics. They don't know anything about how they impact the body.
Okay. And
okay,
are the studies on your Natron website?
Some of them are, but you can call our professional division and talk to Lawrence and Joel, and they'll provide you the studies.
Thank you. Same
866 number, and just ask for our professional division.
Thank you both very, very much.
Thank you.
Very welcome. So, Natasha, thank you so much. It's been an absolutely wonderfully informative hour and a half with you. And I want to just give out people again, if they want to learn more about the Natron products, they can go to either the website, which is www.natron.com. That's N as in nothing, A-T-R-E-N.com. Or they can call any of the Natron probiotic consultants. It's a free call. It's a free consultation. The number is 1-866-462-8736. And, yes, Natasha, thank you so much. We've enjoyed having you.
Thank you so much for your support. I love speaking to your people. And anytime you need me, I'll be more than happy to do these teleconferences with you.
Wonderful. Well, I know we got to only, you know, maybe half of the content that we had wanted to get to on the call, so maybe we're going to have to do another one in the future.
It's a very big topic, and as you see, there's a lot of misinformation, and it takes a lot to get people back on track.
Exactly. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Natasha.
Thank you, and God bless everybody.
All right. And, oh, just I should mention again, if people want to find my books, they're available at www.caramal.com. That's caramal.com. And thanks to everybody for tuning in. And maybe we'll have Natasha back before too long.
Okay, thanks, everyone.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.